to episode 5 of the Rated NA podcast for nerdappropriate.com. We have a guest via driving his car to my house, Ryan Clark.
That's me.
So if you hear him say three words,
that.
That'll be him. He actually, if you listen to episode 4, one of the bumpers of music was actually his. He gave it to us, and I think it was the third one. Before the reviews.
The booty bass one.
Yes, that was Ryan.
Oh, man.
Is that booty bass?
Yeah.
I like booty bass.
I shook my moneymaker to that very song.
That is Ryan's music. He brought it to us.
Thanks. Excellent. How are you guys doing? Did you enjoy your Thanksgivings?
I posted about it. I sat on my ass and played Assassin's Creed all day long.
That's glorious.
I had a Thanksgiving Wednesday night with my wife because she works retail at a store that's open on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And she worked that day.
We call that communism.
What?
I think it's the opposite of communism.
No. That company's communist. All the money goes to them.
They're like Brazilian or
you
something.
Can blame the Europeans that shop there.
Yeah, I mean, it's the South Americans' fault.
Is it government-owned?
Yeah, it's government-owned.
Yes.
It's a state agency.
Scott, what'd you do?
I ate some food.
Did you eat a tofurkey? I'll kill you.
No, I really didn't.
Good.
I had normal turkey, sweet potato, you know, rolls, whatever.
Excellent.
Are we allowed to say Happy Black Friday to everybody?
Yeah.
It sounds racist, too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I'm talking about shopping.
Right.
Every time someone says that, and I think of the movie with Ice Cube.
Friday?
Yeah.
Because there was black people in it?
I don't know, but every time I hear Black Friday, I just think, you know, I think of Chris Tucker, and I think of...
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with me, but that's
a lot.
Truth.
I think a lot's wrong with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
The last episode, you actually awkwardly said that you're totally a racist, and
yes.
Now you're admitting that the statement Black Friday makes you think of Friday and Ice Cube.
Well, I said I was a racist because I only like comics with mutants.
Yeah, but what you said, and I could have edited it very nicely, what you said was, I'm a racist, a horrible, horrible racist, and then you just paused for a minute, and then you said...
Pause for effect, yes.
Yes.
No, I like people of all races, creeds, and colors.
Special guest star Ryan, did you do anything for Thanksgiving?
I had two dinners, one with the girlfriend's parents, one with my parents. Very exciting.
Did your girlfriend's dad pick on you? Because those are funny stories.
No, actually, not this time. For once.
That's good.
For once.
Do you usually cry in the holidays?
Tell me I was homeless or came from a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
Good times.
That's rough. Well, you shave, probably, right? So that's a good thing. All right. Well, we actually have a lot to talk about today. We've got basically a ton of reviews and some news and some other things. So we're going to go ahead and get it started. Do you guys want to make fake techno music again, or do you want to just say coming up next is the news?
I think you just did.
Yeah.
So first up in the news, we have some TV news that I'm bringing to the table, and it is that The Simpsons got renewed for their 23rd season, which will include episode number 500, making it officially the longest-running animated series, and I'm pretty sure one of the longest-running like weekly shows, other than things like...
I think Gunsmoke was one of the longest.
Scott keeps saying Gunsmoke. I don't know how long Gunsmoke
was.
Nightline and The Tonight Show and all those kind of shows ran, obviously, for longer, but those are kind of different shows to me. This is one of the longest-running like series.
Scripted shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. pretty awesome. I know you're probably the biggest Simpsons fan of the lot of us.
I have a lot of Simpsons paraphernalia. I still find it funny, but I also know that I'm in the minority of that crew. I think that actually the past couple of years have been better than probably a stock of about 5 to 6 years before that. There was a really, I think from like season 15 to 20 was not very good, but it kind of picked up after that.
I honestly probably haven't watched it since I was in high school. So I have mad respect for it. I mean, I think that the voice actors are great, and I think they definitely employ some of the best writers in the business to like keep it fresh and to keep it, you know, interesting for people. But it's just like, I don't know. I'm not a comedy guy like you. You're like much more into comedy than I am. I love comedy, but you like have sex with comedy.
I live comedy.
You live comedy, yeah. So, you know, for me, I much rather watch stuff blow up for a half an hour.
Would you prefer that they try to, I mean, like, you obviously can't take the show in like completely different directions, so.
I'm happy that they don't chase like the Family Guy or South Park tale. I'm happy that they just kind of do the Simpsons and they aren't like, oh, well, Family Guy is all relevant pop culture references. We're going to start doing that. Or South Park is totally political and we're going to start doing that. And it's just kind of like,
they
just do what they do.
Like asides or something, you know, it's like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I enjoy the fact that the characters are who they are and that they're still funny. I mean, 23 years, if you're still moderately funny after 23 years of writing.
Has it really been that long?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Why don't they let the characters age? That's my question.
That's always been the thing.
Yeah, like, if it's been that long, just
give them a year.
Yeah, after.
Because I think then don't you, like, you know, don't you Cosby show it and, like, Olivia shows up all of a sudden and you're like, they've done jokes about that. Like, how they don't just add characters. Like, Homer Simpson was a dog for one of the episodes. They brought in, like, he was, oh God, I'm going to forget the name. He was like a surfing dog who wore like a backwards baseball cap. And they brought him in as an extra on, Jesus Christ. Itchy and Scratchy show. He was like the third character on the Itchy and Scratchy show. And he was like supposedly there to reinvigorate the show and bring the youth back in.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did this like whole joke on it. And then in the end of it, like a random character shows up at their dining room table one night and then is gone like immediately after that. The show, I think they do funny stuff like that because they're kind of self-referential. They don't need to reference
outward
topics.
I don't know. Part of it's just me kind of wanting to see, you know, a new direction. There's only, I guess there's not. I mean,
look,
if it's
there
still
would probably
getting
just
renewed,
have to be a new show.
Yeah,
all shows don't
the
need
Planner
to be lost,
show.
Guys.
Bart the College Years.
It's even taken those kids in South Park like 10 years just to get through like 3 grade levels. So
yeah.
Oh, they have gone through grades, haven't they?
Yeah,
yeah,
they're actually getting older,
but they don't look any older. They're just like
yeah,
now we're
well,
eighth grade.
The art style is like a fucking piece of cardboard. With like,
yeah,
like you can't tell what the hell they are half the time.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I think it's cool that it's made it this far and is still a ratings. I don't know about monster, but still like pulls in good ratings like every Sunday night.
Very solid core.
I feel like for
I've got friends that still watch it. Every week?
Me.
New episodes every week?
Yeah.
Oh, friends. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah, so. I don't know. Just thought we'd bring that up.
Yeah.
I remember when I was young, my aunt told my parents to not let me watch that show because they said the F word in it. And I was like 8 years old, and I was pretty sure you can say, I don't think you can say the F word on TV.
You can say fuck all day long here.
Oh,
I actually.
We're explicit.
Yeah, we are. Because I'm too lazy to edit out cuss words. The other thing I was going to say is I was listening to the Nerdist podcast.
Yeah.
And he had Donald Glover on from one of our favorite shows, The Community. I don't know why I said that. Community. And
because you're old, that's what old people, they add
the, yeah, they add the.
And they pluralize everything.
The and then the Donald Glovers.
Yeah, the communities.
The Donald Glovers.
He said that the way he, because he wrote for 30 Rock for the first three seasons, and he said that the way he got on that show was by writing a spec script for The Simpsons. And then I learned through that podcast that apparently is like what you don't do when you want to be a comic writer because everybody does it and like no one does it well. And I just thought it was really funny that not only did this guy, who honestly you need to go listen to that specific podcast because the story of how he got to where he is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life because he's either the luckiest or seriously the most talented guy ever created because he's just like, I'm going to quit doing it. And we're totally aside, but, you know, anyways –
Donald Glover is awesome.
I think it just it makes a point to how gigantic The Simpsons is and how long it has been running, when that is something that, like, in comedy circles is considered kind of the holy grail of stuff to do.
I swear to God, for like the first 6 months he was popular, I got him confused with Sabian Glover, and I thought the tap dancing guy was now doing comedy writing.
You didn't think it was Danny Glover's son?
No, that was the first.
I just assumed that.
That's just because he's black.
Yeah, that's probably wrong.
Yeah.
I'm too old for this shit.
I apologize.
Did you watch the Always Sunny?
Yes.
Where they did the Lethal Weapon.
Have you seen the newest one? The Rats?
No. Yeah, oh, yeah, I did see that one. Okay, anyway, so moving on. Next story. Ash.
All right. The latest news that I picked up is one of our favorite actors, Mark Wahlberg.
How's your mother doing?
Yeah.
Say hi to your mother for me. Is that what it is?
Hey, say hi to your mother for me.
Hey, you're a goat.
He sounds really gay in tough guy roles. Like, whenever he's trying to be really tough, he sounds really gay. I accidentally caught a little... What was the video game movie he just did?
Boogie Nights?
No. Wow, he was like
a
game
for that?
He was a cop.
Rapidly tapped
Max,
X.
Max Payne.
And when he's holding guys up in the bathroom, he's
that's actually a pretty good Mark Wahlberg.
He sounds really gay.
We were going to hire you just to do that all the time.
Yeah.
That's it. I can only do those words.
Only
rearrange those words.
So anyway, I don't think you said the news.
Yeah, he's been cast as Nathan Drake in the Uncharted Drake's Fortune movie. And I just kind of want to talk for a few minutes about how you guys feel when these high-profile video game roles get cast well or miscast. So first, I kind of want to grab your opinions on whether or not you think that is a good casting decision.
How's he going to be both Max Payne and Nathan Drake, though?
Isn't that the same game?
Max Drake. What do you think, Scott? I know you've played the Uncharted games.
Yeah, I've never played
it. I played the first Uncharted game, and it's kind of bizarre because that game, more so than other games that have stories, is kind of like a movie that plays out through your actions. It's very linear, but a lot of cinematic aspects to it. So it's like, does this need a movie? Like, can you just like cobble together all the cutscenes from the game and just make it digital? I don't know. I can't see the script being any better or worse than Max Payne was. You know, like,
yeah,
I did not see Max Payne in the movie. I'll have to be
honest.
Demons
showed up and I just picked it off.
Yeah,
I also did not see Max Payne, nor did I ever play the Max Payne game.
Oh, the games are actually pretty good. Yeah, the Max Payne 2 was pretty good.
I mean, I guess he's the right, like, a good person for this role.
Yeah, I mean, he is, depending on who's directing him, he can be a great actor. Like, if you look at, what's the movie he just did with Shyamalan, Langadang?
The Happening.
Happening,
which he finally admitted was crap.
Did he?
Yeah, in an interview, he admitted that it was crap.
So yeah, The Happening, well, I could barely watch it because of, you know, what was going on the screen.
I only watched it for Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, yeah. We all know that.
Yeah.
We all know your love. Oh, wait. There's a Zooey Deschanel high five happening right now. So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. I was kind of excited because I heard Nathan Fillion was in talks to do...
That's, like, that's the guy.
That's more, that's fan service right there.
Yeah. Because that guy, he just has that pizzazz,
see,
that charm.
Until you named him as... like an actor, like, I thought Mark Wahlberg was okay, but now I think you're that's more appropriate, especially for that role,
because
Nathan Drake is kind of a cocky, kind
of
guy.
He has a sense of humor, you know. He's more of a Nathan Drake is very much a young Indiana Jones kind of character. He's a swashbuckler, you know. He's not like I knew you were a cop.
Philly just play his character from Serenity.
What you guys fail to realize, though, is that The Dark Knight made $1.10 billion, and everybody has to make everything super
dark. Everybody has to be dark and serious.
No.
Dark and serious.
Is that how this movie's going to be?
This guy I work with.
I mean, it's Mark Wahlberg. I mean, I guess he could do comedy, but
he
only does...
in The Boxer.
He only does comedy, like, about himself, you know? Mark Wahlberg's kind of one note to me. He's like a Nick Cage...
Oh,
I feel like he's just the same guy over and over again. Just apply a different storyline to him. Like,
you do remember he did get his start with the Funky Bunch.
Well, I remember the Funky Bunch.
Yeah,
come on,
his hip hop stylings with the Funky Bunch.
Dare you say Nick Cage is one note?
Oh no,
oh,
man,
God.
All of the notes.
Yeah, they're all one.
So yeah, I, you know, there's a lot of things
that joke
course,
made no sense.
You know, talking about video game movies. they can either go very, very well, or they can, you know, go horribly, and we could go on for hours.
Well, they could go well, like
Ben Kingsley in Blood Rain. Waiting on that one. Yeah.
Did anyone actually see that?
No.
You saw the U-ball extraction.
It was so bad.
My dad probably saw it too, so you and my dad had two viewers.
Man.
It was bad.
You know what I
saw? I had to IMDb that to make sure.
Fat chicken on the fly.
I want to see how it goes. I like the Uncharted series. If he was cast in something that was a little bit more near and dear to my heart, I might be a little upset, but we'll see what happens.
What does the actual voice actor look like?
He looks a lot like Nathan Drake.
I was going to say, could he fit the role, or would that just be too confusing for most people?
I don't know that voice actors
translate. Like, if it's a nobody on the bill, like...
Yeah, because I don't know that this game is a powerhouse enough that they could just put like nobody on the bill and have it do really well. It would just be
Blood Rain. I just feel like Mark Wahlberg is just going to make it a little too like mainstream and probably not as special as it could be.
I never played the game. I always pictured it more as an Indiana Jones than I did.
It's kind of like a Tomb Raider almost.
Right, like I pictured it more fun than I did serious.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just feel like Mark Wahlberg could play like a great serious role of somebody in that kind of situation, but I don't know about if the tone of the game is.
No, you
kind of
have to act like an ass, so, like that's his character. So.
But then it's always the same thing, like movies based on games. It's like, do you do a movie directly related to the game, or do you do a movie that like, you know, is based on the series that the game is? Because I've never really seen a movie that translates well from a game that.
No.
Other than Doom, which was cinematic,
Mortal
Kombat Annihilation was another great
Smoke
one.
Smoke showed up?
Yeah.
Smoke, oh man. All
right, let's move on.
All right, moving along.
So the third piece is kind of a discussion you wanted to bring up, Ash, which is fine, but it is related to news that's coming out, so.
Yeah, the next Spider-Man movie starts filming this week with Emma Stone in the role of Gwen Stacy. I'm an Emma Stone fan.
I was surprised on the Gwen Stacy pick.
I was too.
I thought for sure.
It was announced first that she was the other Mary Jane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which made sense.
But now they're saying Mary Jane's probably not even in the movie.
Which is good. Because they don't really, you know, depending on what iteration of the comic you read, like when I read the comics, they didn't ever connect, you know. Because Gwen, spoiler alert, dies. Before Mary Jane's even part of the story, I know.
I'm leaving.
Ruined it for you guys. So yeah. So Emma Stone probably going to die.
Do you see her?
That's
break
30
it down?
Years of comics. They're not going to read now.
Yes.
Did you see her break it down on SNL?
No.
In the digital short.
SNL.
That girl.
Yes.
She's got.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Moves,
I did see that. Yeah.
She's got moves.
No, she's hilarious. She was great in Zombieland. I think that movie's going to be good. But the question I wanted to bring up was, when is it too soon to reboot a franchise? Because Spider-Man 3 was only, what, three or 4 years ago?
Is it just like another movie now? Is it?
It started
just another sequel?
Because you said there was another reboot, too, which was Fantastic Four, that I hadn't heard yet.
Yeah.
So, like, here's the two viewpoints on those two movies.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 3 cost, like, $100 billion to make because everybody's getting paid crap loads of money because they know the movie makes tons of money, so they're demanding more. The cast goes up, the charge for sets goes up, and everything gets more and more and more and more expensive, and eventually they just have to be like, okay, we're not going to make any money on this anymore. We've got to restart because there's no way we can do anything else. But they know Spider-Man's still a moneymaker, so they're not going to give up on it. So I think that's the one take. And then there's Fantastic Four, which was such a fucking horrible mess.
Until the fourth movie, I bet they're waiting. Fourth,
it was such a mess though that they had to redo it because there's nothing they can do. It's cast improperly. It's
you know where they
written poorly.
Up the main thing where they fucked up with
Jessica Alba.
And that's forgivable just because she's hot. But when they said we'll make Thing in a rubber suit,
that was so bad.
We'll make Thing rubber suit, and when he moves, we'll just add stone sound effects.
Yeah.
He looked fucking ridiculous.
It looked like the old Fantastic Four movie that got made in the 80s.
Yeah.
And the Captain America movie and all that stuff. So bad.
Yeah.
They just made that. The only reason they made that was to hold on to the rights for it.
Yeah. Really?
Like, they were going to lose the rights for it, and they wanted to hold on to the rights so that they could sell them eventually. So they just cobbled together a movie in, like, a month and made that movie on, like, a
the old 80s
button.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was bad.
It was very bad. I mean, I think that's the two takes on that. It's just that, like, neither one of those series can go forward. But at the same time, you know, it'd be nicer for, I think, for us, for people who are into this kind of stuff, if they just left Spider-Man alone for a little while and did something new. Like,
or they could just do simultaneously competing reboots. You know, it'll be like... It'll be like McGee's Spider-Man, Quentin Tarantino's Spider-Man, and then all these five or six movies. They all come out at the same time. Whoever sees, you know, the most, that's the one that goes forward.
I thought Sam Raimi nailed the Spider-Man feel in the first two so well. That, just like you were saying with the reboot of, like, the gritty Batman, like, I'm just afraid they're going to do that to Spider-Man. And,
but
like,
see,
Spider-Man was kind of a dork. And
gritty, and we've had this talk before. Gritty Batman fits. Like, Nolan's take on Batman wasn't, like, weird. Like,
that was Batman,
you know? But I think he just made so much money with it. But at the same time, Iron Man, you know...
Right,
made a
light.
Shitload of money and was not that, you know. And I think Iron Man, the other thing with Iron Man to me is that's proof that you can move to a new character and still do phenomenally well if you make a good movie. Because Iron Man, and what I always laughed about is when that movie came out, everybody was like, oh yeah, he's totally a top A-rated player in Marvel. And I'm like, no, he's not. Like, no one gave a shit about Iron Man. I mean, he's in a bunch of the series, but he's not like...
Yeah,
he's not like some. My parents didn't know who the hell Iron Man was before that movie came out.
Growing up and being heavily into comics, I don't know anybody in my circle of like nerdy comic friends that even like touched on
it. I read it later, like when I came back to comics before the movie was coming out. I started reading Iron Man because they did like interesting things with him.
Yeah,
but it wasn't because I was like, oh, I got to get back into that Iron Man story. Like he had nothing to like. He wasn't a big name, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I think it's money.
No, I agree. It's definitely all about money, and it's going to be interesting to see where these comic book movies go. They're going to redo the Hulk now again. They're going to,
What else is there?
Ed Norton's out. Fantastic Four.
Are they
going
to reboot Catwoman?
No.
I mean, couldn't you get much better?
Yeah, that was about as high as
Or Elektra or Daredevil.
Yes.
Beautiful.
I did hear talks of Daredevil getting redone.
Daredevil could be good. They don't need to put who they put in it, and they need to... we don't need Ben Affleck as Daredevil, right? And we need a better director, obviously, because that movie was just a fucking mess. I don't know who directed
it. It was
friggin' awful. I don't know. I will Google it.
I hear Ryan Reynolds is just scooping up superhero movies lately, so just let him do it.
Yeah. I read a great interview with him about Deadpool, and it seems like he has the attitude that he wants to do a good Deadpool, but I don't have any faith in Green Lantern. Actually, I didn't care about the comic either. So.
No one does. That's all right. I'm the only one who read it. It's
Even Green Lantern doesn't care about Green Lantern.
Yeah, he keeps trying to quit.
Oh, he also did, his name is Mark Steven Johnson.
Yes,
who also directed the wonderful Ghost Rider movie that got put out
with our boy Nick Cage. Full circle.
God.
Yeah, Ghost Rider's getting a sequel also.
Yep. A sequel?
Yeah,
yep.
A sequel to Ghost Rider with
Nick
Cage.
It did make
$1 million.
At least a million dollars. Yeah,
and that's
it. Was Nick Cage buying all the tickets?
that flaming head was pretty phenomenal looking.
Oh, mercy!
God, what a horrible movie.
All right, so what's next on the agenda?
So we're going to do a new segment after some musical interlude called "Read This, Not That," and I'm going to bring some comics out to you guys, and we're gonna talk about it.
All right,
sweet. Cool. All right, so we're back, and we're going to do a new... Ryan's laughing because we don't really go anywhere. Ash peed, and I got some water, right? Is that where you're laughing?
No.
Or are you laughing at the
comic?
Awesome. Oh, yeah, okay. So I wanted to do a new segment. We talked about this before. We're going to try and do this with a few different media, but I wanted to kick it off with comics. And so this one would be called Read This, Not That. And what I want to talk about is Mark Miller, which I found out is the proper way to say it, not Millar, which I said for years. Yeah, apparently it's Miller. Has three things going right now that he's doing. He's got three different series. He's doing Kick-Ass Part 2, a book called Nemesis, and a book called Superior. And what my argument is, instead of picking up Kick-Ass 2, because there was a movie about it and it got super popular and everybody knows what Kick-Ass is all of a sudden, you should actually pick up Nemesis and Superior, which to me are far better titles.
Far superior
titles. So I want to give a quick reason why. And really, I'm nitpicking. Like, it's not that Kick-Ass is bad. Kick-Ass is a... If you've got to get comics and it's the only one on the freaking shelf, then you're not, you know, hurting yourself by purchasing the $2 book or whatever. It's actually written very well because it's Mark Miller and it's entertaining. But Superior is actually about a kid who has MS and is wheelchair-bound and he's in high school and he's got a friend. And he's got, like, one friend who hangs out with him. And it kind of starts off, and you kind of see how they're good buddies, and they go to a movie every week, and, you know, the kid gets picked on a lot, and he's kind of still tough inside, but he's, you know, he's stuck in a wheelchair, can't move. So he goes home that night, and from what I gather, an alien monkey shows up in his bedroom.
Sold.
Offers to grant him a wish. The kid wakes up the next morning and is Superior, which is his favorite comic book hero from, like, movies and comic books. And he can't change back. He literally is... He went from a 4-foot, like, MS kid in a wheelchair to a 6-foot, 300-pound superhero who can fly and do different things.
So it's like a big reboot.
It's a life reboot. So he flies over to his friend's house, and then it's all about him trying to, like, convince his friend. And it's just, it's written phenomenally. The art is a guy named Lanil Yu, who I don't actually know of beyond this book, but the art's phenomenal. It looks really good.
Did he? Yeah.
The art's awesome. The story is, like, actually really kind of heartwarming in a weird way, because the kid, it's just written very, very, very well. So that's Superior. And then there's Nemesis. Nemesis is Miller's take on Batman, but kind of in reverse. And he creates this supervillain named Nemesis, who basically has, like, unlimited wealth behind him and is just a friggin' badass, and is hunting this cop named Blake Morrow, who killed his father, or who jailed his father, and his father killed himself, I think is the actual story.
Interesting. That's actually a really cool concept.
The concept's awesome. The writing, the plot is a little thin at times. Like, the reason things happen just kind of happen. But the action in the book is ridiculous. And it's Steve McNiven, who worked with him on Old Man Logan and a few other books, who's an awesome artist.
Is that why Nemesis looks like Batman, but he's all in white?
Yeah. It's like on purpose. It's his take on this opposite of Batman. But there's a scene, I think in the second or third book, and you guys have the second book that you're looking at right now, where he is getting taken away by police, and he's, like, in handcuffs, but he paid off, one of the cops is under his control, essentially. And, like, this other cop's, like, talking shit about him, like, oh, yeah, we caught you, you know, you're not that tough. And then, like, in two pages of frames with no talking, he gets out of the cuffs, murders all, like, 18 cops around him, like, knocks another kid out, and then, like, then is gone, like, disappears. And that, it's ridiculous action. And then the stuff that's happening in the book is sick and twisted and ridiculous. Like,
here's
the whole
book.
Here's
my question for you, though. As a reader, can you root for this guy? Do you root for this guy? Because, I mean, I find myself, like, when I read comics, there are villains I like.
Right.
And but you can't
really
you're
supposed to root
you can't
for
root
our
you literally can't root. Okay, without I mean I don't know how I can not root not
just,
not
no,
root on this. This is total spoiler. So if you
all
really
right.
want to read Nemesis,
it's all right.
Close your ears. At the end of book 3, it is put out that he forced the cop's son to rape the cop's daughter.
Whoa, hold on. So you don't
root for the guy, apparently.
No,
so.
Like, he's evil. Like, they made him about as evil. Miller did not pull punches on, like, how brutally evil this guy is.
Oh my God, aren't you supposed to root for the cop?
You root for the cop.
He's the
But he's the B player in the
right.
book. Like,
the
he's not really, like, you're not seeing stuff from him all the time. Like, you are, but it's
so you're basically, like, it would be as if, I mean, you already gave the Batman analogy, but it's almost like as if you're reading a Joker comic in which
Commissioner Gordon's the only good guy.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
is no Batman.
Yeah, there is no
but
Batman.
But Joker is Batman.
Yeah.
That's literally what it is. Like,
it's cool.
It's like super evil dude.
Like, you know, books like this, I cannot, like, I can't follow them after a while because
right.
there has to be some sort of vindication.
But I think that's where the, and there probably will be, honestly. I doubt they're just going to let him, like, murder, rape, and pillage for like, 10 books and then it'll be over.
Mm-hmm.
But, that would be where Superior, I would say. Superior is a phenomenal story. Like, awesome story. And the only reason I say no to Kick-Ass, and this is my biggest complaint with this book, is I fucking hate John Romita Jr., who's the artist on it.
Personally, you hate his art.
I know, I hate him.
Oh my God.
I hate him personally.
Did he force you to rape yourself?
He forced me to rape myself.
Oh, wow.
No, he just his drawing. Some people love him. I get it. And I brought another comic for a comparison because I think Kick-Ass he's okay on, but he did the New Avengers and it looks like an idiot drew it. I don't know how else to put it. It's just drawn poorly to me. Everything's like
the cover kind of looks
weirdly
like
proportioned.
The,
yes,
it looks like kids' books.
This is what I was gonna say. I
the
made a comic
stories.
With my friend Chris in high school in like ninth grade. We wrote this comic about a priest. It was a really horrible story that I made, and he drew because he's an awesome artist. But if you look at it now, you can tell he drew it when he was in high school because there's just like things that haven't developed in your art yet, and that's what I feel like all of Romita's art looks like. It looks like a high school kid drew it.
Totally.
And that's that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I wanted to bring this up. That's why it's called Read This, Not That, because Mark Miller, you know, amazing writer, wrote one of my favorite Marvel story arcs, which was Civil War, wrote Old Man Logan, Wanted, Superior, he wrote The Ultimates. I mean, the dude is prolific in the stuff he's put out, especially of recent years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got three books going right now, and if you got to spend your hard-earned money, I would lean towards Superior and Nemesis, which are unknown characters, but just fantastic storylines. One for the action and one for the actual
story. The only thing I was hesitant about Nemesis was about is because it's so conceptual based on knowing what Batman is, and it's that...
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Stand on, if you've never heard of a... Like, it's possible, but if you've never heard of a Batman comic book, would you be able to
I think it'd be a little hard to wrap your head around just because he's like crazy rich. He's so ridiculously rich that like money isn't even a subject in here.
Right.
But yet he's like buying off cops left and right, flying helicopters into walls. You know,
basically
like,
what any of us would do if we had
if you
that
had
much
a,
money.
A crazy if you were Bill Gates rich, this is what you would do.
That,
if you also were amazing martial artist and
right.
knew how to kill
so
people.
So like Charlie Sheen plus martial arts.
Charlie Sheen plus martial arts.
Right. Yes, would definitely equal.
Like if you didn't hard. Just want to beat up hookers and you wanted to like kill people.
He had bad porn.
So yeah, that was a quick hit. Just wanted to do,
no, yeah.
read this now.
I kind of really want to read Superior now.
It's very good.
I loved Big, so I will also love Superior.
And it is. It's that kind of
reboot. That's
emotion.
What I said.
Oh, I thought you just meant it's a
big
reboot.
Not a reboot.
Yeah.
The movie Big. Except there's
yeah.
a Zoltar.
Yeah.
Except instead of him being a toy marketer, he's a superhero.
Yeah.
Can I get an action figure of the monkey with space?
And instead
on?
Of Zoltar,
that,
there's
yes.
an alien
there's
monkey.
There's an alien monkey. Whatever.
Who shows up at his bed.
That's why they call it reboot.
And then I guess I'm 3 issues in, I think, now in Superior. I don't remember what issue he's on. But they're, or maybe 2.
Are
they
just like mini runs?
No, I don't know. I don't know what his plan is for length of the story, but they're just now getting to like why. There's like a why to why he turned into this.
A quick question about Superior: is he in a world with that has superheroes in it, or is
no?
He, so he has no one that can hurt him.
No, he's just like, and there's like an awesome scene in book 2 where he's like trying to figure out how to fly.
Yeah.
And he just starts like floating away and like
yeah.
he can't figure out how to come back down. He's just like, what am I doing? He's like
yeah,
floating
true.
Off into space and doesn't know what else
yeah.
to do.
Apparently he's won at least one WrestleMania.
Well, he is like, he turned into, I guess what they're saying is like the movie star who plays him is that's what he looks like.
Okay.
So he turned into like the movie version of Superior all of a sudden, and there's no one actually like this in the world. It's all of Miller's books, which is this is regular Earth. It's just a place.
Okay.
Which is the same with Nemesis. Like there's no there's no superhero in Kick-Ass. Like, there's never any, like, actual superheroes in the world. He writes these, like, very real worlds where weird things start.
It's a very real world where alien monkeys come down and cranky witches.
Weird things happen.
That happens to me often. All right, so what's next on the agenda?
So we have lots of reviews to talk about, so that'll be up next. We're going to review Harry Potter 7, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and then a Cataclysm review from Ash.
All right.
So first up in the reviews, we've made sure Ryan's not going to talk through this whole thing, so don't worry about that. Don't shake the table either, buddy, all right? Jesus. What is this, your first fucking podcast? Because we've done five now, and we're pretty good at it.
And I've listened to two.
Yeah. All right. So first up in the reviews is Harry Potter 7, Deathly Hallows, Part 1. We all saw it. We have not talked about it at all yet with each other. So let's start off with Scott.
What?
Harry Potter 7.
Wow, you totally caught me off guard. What I will say about the movie and the book is that, for the most part, I wasn't really a big fan of, like, the direction in which the book went, meaning, like, you know, they didn't go back to school, and it was kind of like, someone described it once as, like, Harry Potter goes camping, and I was like, yeah, kinda. And, I guess, like, so I didn't really have, like, very high expectations for the movie going into it. And then after seeing the movie, I was actually really impressed because even though this movie is such, like, I think it's, like, a large departure from the previous movies, but I really liked how like, dark it was and how many, like, there were a lot of, like, very, like, silent parts in the movie where, like, something would happen and then there would be, like, no music at all. And then the scene would just kind of fade to black. And it was, like, very sad, and then you just kind of had to sit there and wait for the next sad thing to happen. But I really thought it was entertaining. I do feel like I probably could have sat through, you know, like a five-hour complete Harry Potter 7 instead of, like, a two-and-a-half hour.
Like an intermission or something?
Yeah, I mean, like, because you know that when the next movie comes out, the first movie will also come back out, and then everyone can go see the first movie again in the summer, and, you know, subsequently the second one, so I wasn't really thrilled with only getting half of the story, but I thought what I did see was pretty phenomenal. You know, there were a few things, like, obviously there's a lot of stuff in the previous movies that were left out from what was in the book. So there was, like, a lot of catching up to do in this movie. Like, I think, like, one of the strange things that happened is, I think, at the beginning of the movie, during the wedding, Harry Potter was introduced to, I think it was Bill, as, like, you know, the older Weasley brother, as if they were meeting for the first time. And I clearly don't think, I feel like they met, like, two or three books ago.
Yeah, they did.
So they had to take, there was, like, kind of a lot of, like
a goblet of fire.
Yeah. You sort of had to be, like, you know, they had to, like, make all these, like, little adjustments to catch you up on all the details that you missed out on because they weren't included in the previous movies if you didn't read the books. But that being said, I thought the movie was phenomenal for, you know, for what it was. You know, maybe, like, as a Harry Potter movie, you know, like, not as much because it was so different, but as a totally different movie, like, I think it was fantastic.
Good deal.
Asher?
Yeah. I'm also in the camp that really, really enjoyed it. The thing that I was talking to my wife about was when I sat down and read the last book, I had all these visuals in my mind, and what they were able to do in this film is really, I was floored because there are scenes that played out exactly how they did in my head with very little like straying from the images of the book. I mean, to the point where, like, spoiler alert, where Dobby gets killed, you know?
Right.
And, spoiler alert, sorry, Dobby gets killed. And, you know, in my mind, it's exactly how it looks. So there are so many different things that were just amazing like that. I thought the kids, if you look at how their acting's improved from when they were little kids to now, they are, you know, completely different animals, and they just do a great job. When they're having to take turns with the Horcrux around their necks, and they're sort of getting more and more desperate and kind of, you know, falling apart, they did such a great job of capturing that, you know, like Ron's like, he's always been envious of Harry, and you could just see like how much like angst and animosity he had towards Harry, and he couldn't handle it anymore. So I thought it was great, and I agree that I much rather would have sat down for like a nice 5-hour like butt sweat marathon and just watched the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be nice to, you know, finally say bye to the series and see what happens next with everything, if anything does happen next. But yeah, great acting, great visuals, loved it.
I too am in the camp that this movie was very good. It was really good. So the things I'm going to say are kind of nitpicky, but I guess that's kind of what reviewing is. But it wasn't. None of this is like, none of what I'm about to say is like a, oh, don't go see this movie. Like, because the movie's phenomenal and it was done very well. I mean, we went together with our wives and who both were bawling halfway through the movie. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Really?
Oh, like losing it, crying
wow.
in the movie.
Okay.
Like, it's done well. The acting's phenomenal. The writing's, you know, top notch. The emotion they get to portray on the screen and get across to the audience is really good. For me, the nitpicky parts, this is I think one of my least favorite Harry Potter directors. It's David Yates. He did the last 3, 5, 6, and 7, and he's doing the last 7, 1, 2. I've just never been really in his style, I guess. And then for whatever reason, I know why they were doing it, but in this movie there was so much fucking shaky cam. I literally wanted to like reach out and punch something because it was every 2 scenes they're running or something would happen. There was a scene where they were just sitting in the tent and the camera's like behind Hermione and like juddery, like back. And I'm like, what are we moving for? Just put it down and have the camera
you know
on the shot.
The camera was moving. It was behind Hermione, right?
What perverted thing would you like to say?
Just saying. Cameraman's behind Hermione. Camera's moving. That's all I got to say.
So, I mean, that's like totally nitpicky and I understand that, but it just really bothered me. It felt slower, but I know it was intentional because it is supposed to be such like an isolation, like they really are on their own. I actually don't mind that they're not in the school. It didn't bother me in the book. It doesn't bother me in the movie. I think what they did was he's grown up now. Like he can't, you know, Harry can't fucking rely on all the things he had, so they remove him from the situation entirely. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like he really is completely on his own, and
mm-hmm.
and I think you really feel that with this movie. The movie's great. There's not really much negative other than some like direction things that I could say
yeah.
about it. But beyond that, it's awesome.
Yeah,
I
want to
give you guys all swirly so bad right now.
Because we're nerds.
Yeah.
I wanna,
as somebody who's only seen the first movie and never read
yes,
any of
please
the books,
comment.
Yeah. No, I just said, would I be able to see the movie?
No.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I watched the movie thinking that you could watch this movie not seeing any of the other ones and still enjoy it.
I don't know how you would have any fucking clue of what's going on.
They're still
on
wizards, right?
I feel like you could still get something out of it.
I think you would need to at least watch the last... Like, you need to watch 5, 6, and 7.
To at least. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it would be like, you know, watching episode 3, I'm assuming, without
like,
having seen any of the
yeah,
you
like,
can watch it, but you
yeah.
don't. You
like,
don't.
1 through 4 really kind of just put the world together. And there's stuff that happens that if you know about it, when you see, like, 5 through 7, you'd be like, oh, that's from blah, blah, blah. But I feel like they build, starting with number 5, they build into this story.
Well, like,
and you definitely can't see.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You definitely can't not see 6. I mean...
So don't. I shouldn't.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Fair
yeah.
No. That makes sense. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I shouldn't see it then.
You should see it. Just
you
go watch the other
just
ones.
Watch them in order.
They're
what,
good, man. They're good.
I guess
movies.
what I want to clarify is like what I was trying to say about them not going back to school, and I guess what it boils down to is expectations, and kind of like as you read through the books, you kind of get this sense, or at least I got a sense that the characters are starting to sort of come into their own. With their interests, like, you know, Harry was like, oh, I think I'm going to be an auror, and you know, like, Neville's interested in plans. And then, like, these kids don't go back to school, and it doesn't seem like Harry Potter learned anything. That kid can't do any spells. He does, like, 2 spells throughout the whole movie. It's like, what did you learn in school, kid? You know,
he's
like,
a pretty good wizard.
He's a wizard. He's a fighter, though.
Yeah, he's a fighter, but, like...
yeah. I think the thing that I thought was cool about the wizard combat in this is it felt like a gunfight. Like,
I've heard that people
feel like they're fighting with like laser guns or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crap's just blown up all over the place, and they're, you know, like, instead of like, you know, saying Wingardium Leviosa, they're just like, bah! And like fucking something explodes in the background. You're like,
yeah,
what are they doing?
I mean, the action is pretty thick in this one, you know, and I guess that's like, I don't know. I keep talking about the shaky cam, I'm sorry, but like...
It's like the auto-tune of the movie.
Oh my god, it felt like when I went and saw the Gladiator movie for the first time, and you're like, I remember the first time I saw it, we couldn't sit in like a normal part of the theater, so we were in like the second row, and the battle scenes happen, you're just like, god, like things are just like moving across the screen.
You mean
like
Russell Crowe?
Yeah, Russell Crowe's Gladiator. Did I say The Gladiator? I'm old today, I was putting The.
That movie made me want to throw
you're
up.
Referencing
too,
a movie that was like 20 years old.
But I'm saying it's the same. They did the same exact combat in this one, where anytime anything started happening, the camera just starts moving all over the place. Like you're trying to track what's going on across the screen, and things
especially
are just flying
in the
all over the place.
Especially in the opening sequence with the sort of like the chase in the sky.
Yeah.
I couldn't follow any of
and
that.
And I totally understand.
I don't think that anybody's going to think it's more real.
Well, right.
Because
was there a real camera there? And, like, I understand that if there was just a fucking solid camera that didn't move, that it would be the most ridiculous-looking fight ever, where it's just like, blah, like, nobody's moving anywhere, nothing's happening. But it just felt, I don't know, it just felt very frantic, like, to the point where I had no idea what was going on in the battles. But they were awesome. I mean, they felt a lot more like things were happening instead of, like, people could die now. You know, like, shit's happening instead of just what's happened to the first 5, which was
now,
no one ever got hurt.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there was at least one scene in the movie that I think was added that was not in the book, and that was a scene where Harry and Hermione dance in the tent. Is that correct?
Were they Spider-Man 3'd it?
No, they didn't Spider-Man
3'd it. And this is what piqued my interest. I heard there's like a borderline romance. Like, they're like kind of naked and there's dust around them.
That was in the book, though.
That's in the book.
That's an illusion.
It's an illusion. That's like they don't. That didn't actually happen. I don't know if that was in the book, honestly.
I think
that was just trying to portray the fact that they were becoming like super close friends, like they needed each other to
right. Well, I mean, like, I think, you know, like the hardcore fans did appreciate like the addition of extra stuff in the movie.
I mean,
but I thought it did a really good job of portraying sort of like the epic sadness of like Ron
and
leaving. And, like, all
right, you know, Harry was trying to.
You think so?
Oh.
No, man. He's got Ginny. Really? He's got Ginny waiting at home.
He doesn't give a shit.
He's got ginger fever, dude.
Yeah,
I know.
Don't
get both
of the company cauldron.
Yeah.
This is not a comment.
There's grass on the field, play Quidditch.
This is not a comment on the movie, per se, although it is a little bit. It's just on the story, somewhat. But they do this in every book. And I know you guys commented that you liked it. It gets annoying to me after a while, is this fucking, like, oh, Ron and Harry have a fight again, and Ron leaves again from the scene. Like, it happens every damn movie. And I feel like if Scott and I fought every year, like, eventually I'd just be like, I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
Just leave. I don't want you here anymore. Like, we fight every year, and you leave every year. Every year you come back. It's ridiculous.
But imagine if, like, Imagine if you guys are best friends.
In a forest fighting
wizards.
All of a sudden,
what's my inspiration?
Scott
for this
calls
scene?
And he's like, holy cow, man, I just got picked up to star in this movie, and now I'm super famous, and everyone in the whole entire world is up my ass, and I am more popular than the President of the United States.
But I don't want to.
But I would just stop being friends with him then.
I think it's okay as long as he says, I'm out of here before you leave. I'm out of here.
Thanks for is that the state reference? Is that what you're doing?
I was going to watch Saved by the Bell. Stop and Saved by the Bell.
Making it be alive. We're old.
I don't think anything that we say or not say is going to deter anyone from seeing
it. Well, look, it's not a bad movie. I mean,
no,
your poor review is just going to know what he's going to go see.
There's at least 13 people who are thinking about maybe not seeing this movie now.
What have we done? 13 people.
It's gone up from four. It's gone up from four. I said four last time. It's at least 13.
What?
Three of which are me.
Blowing up.
They're not even going to release part two now.
All right. So, Harry Potter 7.
Go watch it.
Go see it. It's
good. Unless you haven't seen the others.
Unless you haven't seen the others, then go watch the others, you retard. Oh.
Yeah. All right, get a diaper.
So,
sit down.
Yeah, Lord of Rings that.
Shit all over yourself and watch some Harry Potter.
All right, so the second review that we're going to do today that we all took part in is Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Pardon me.
All three of us have played to different extents this game at this point, and we're going to start off with Ash this time.
Whoa!
All
right.
Can I start off with my question that I had from before, or should I wait? Because it's an extra question.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Whereas, is this a third game, or is this... Because the advertisement for it, I thought it was like going to be like a DLC pack for two or
this
something.
And I understand that. This is a third game, but still in the world of the second
the
game.
The second game. So, okay. But it's a third full on...
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a full game.
It's a full
question answer.
Full game and then some. All right, so out of everyone here, I'm probably, I want to say, I like the game the least, the universe.
It's your Gears of War.
It's my Gears of War. Here's the deal. I think it's an amazing game. You cannot argue that it's a AAA title and that it's, you know, well-made and everything's great. But there's certain things about open world games that always irk me, and that's... lack of variety. Repetition. You know, there's only so many, you know, different mission types that you can do. Like escort this guy, kill this guy, go here, do that, rinse and repeat for 65 hours. That's sort of my problem with the Assassin's Creed series. I beat Assassin's Creed 2, and I never beat Assassin's Creed 1. I know, but there was no story there. I was like running around and I was assassinating Templars and I couldn't give a crap. Two, I got a little bit more into the story. I cared a little bit more about Ezio. I thought the hook about avenging your family after you watch them hang was a good enough hook to drag me into the story and kind of see it to fruition. So Brotherhood, you know, picks up with Ezio's story. And you get to kind of see where he goes from there. And I don't want to spoil too much. The gameplay has improved drastically. I thought the free running is a lot better. It feels more precise. You know, I only played 2 a couple months ago. So I actually remember some of the hang-ups that I had with some of the free running segments. Things are improved on that end. The combat, also very improved. You can now chain together combos, essentially, with different weapons.
Look at the combo breaker!
Yes, and there's combos, and the different enemy types require different sorts of techniques in order to take them down. Some spear guys, you gotta kick them in the nuts. But you can combo, you can take out a group of 10 guys without breaking a sweat. So the whole point of Assassin's Creed is to be, like, the ultra badass. And now you can even be a bigger ultra badass, where I will have no problem walking to a room full of armored guys and wiping the floor with them and looking awesome while doing it. The other thing I really like, about, I want to say four story plot, what are they called?
They're called memories.
Sequences.
Four sequences or five sequences in, you actually get to start controlling your assassin brothers, and that adds a whole other element because you can actually call down assassins to do various things for you. Most of which involve killing. And then you can micromanage them and equip them with gear and send them on missions all over the world. Those are things I like.
It didn't really sound like you liked them that much.
No, I liked them. They're good. The things I don't like, I think the story's muddled. I think it, because it's open world, it's very, it's almost too nonlinear.
How many hours do you think you played?
I'm probably a good 15.
Okay.
15 hours in, probably. Yeah. And, my problem is I just feel like there's so much. You look at the map now, and it's like someone vomited on the mini map. There's 5 billion little icons all over the fucking place, and there's too much to do. I almost need, like, please give me some guidance. Like, it's supposed to be some big plot line, rescue some chick out of prison, I rescue her from prison. I don't even have any fucking clue who she is. Like, no clue whatsoever.
She's from the second game.
Okay, but what the fuck? Like, did she give me a hand job? I don't remember.
You do a memory.
Is that why she went to jail?
We'll talk in a second.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's finish. It was the hand job.
Oh, it was a hand job. See, So here's my problem. Like,
I'm gonna let you finish.
Yeah, I feel like more could be done to kind of make a more cohesive, linear story that while keeping it an open world game.
I think that's a difficult thing to do, because that's the same problem I have with every open world game is, like, I do the wrong thing, or I don't play for a day and then forget that I'm supposed to go to point A.
Red Dead Revolver.
That's pretty much exactly what
every Rockstar game.
Every Rockstar game.
Yeah.
And it's cool. I still kill the bad guys, but I never keep track of the whole plot.
But you don't know why.
That's fine.
We had very different experience, I'm going to say.
Cool.
I, too, played probably about 12 hours, maybe 13, the majority of which yesterday, to the point where I told you guys before the podcast started, but, like, to the point where, like, there was this, like, 12 hours into playing, there's a sequence where Ezio's talking, and all I heard was, like, and I was like, I don't even know what is going on anymore.
It's like a Chechen accent.
Yeah, it was whatever. But I felt like the story was actually really clear this time. I thought they cleared up what was a very confusing story out of number two. Mm. I think the beginning hour of this game made me really excited for what I thought the rest of the game was going to be, and which quickly I realized it was not. Where the this is obviously not real, it's the first 15 minutes of the game, but the beginning of the game, you jump in and there's like a fucking battle. Like, crazy war that just opens up immediately. After they kind of go like, hey, remember number two? Let's tell you a few story points. And you're like, all right, all that stuff happened. They're like, remember that crazy thing? With the And you're like, oh, yeah, I totally remember that. And they're like, cool, well, there's a war going on outside. Go fight it. And you're like, what? And you, like, run out, and there's, like, people storming the gates, and you're grabbing cannons. And I was like, cool, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to have, like, other assassins I can lead around and do stuff. And then they're like, hey, why don't you go back to playing the same game you played, one and two, and just walk around a city for 14 hours. I got completely fucking lost, to the point where I'm 12 hours, I'm only, what, 2-3 hours shy of what you maybe played, and I think I'm like a full 3-4 memory sequences behind you, because I've like 50%ed building everything. I've built almost everything I can possibly
build.
You're
just taking a lawnmower to the map and like...
I essentially am just clearing out every plot point other than the memory sequences that I can do on the map.
Why are they called memory sequences?
I don't know.
Because
I know the story.
You're the guy going into
a
memory machine and reliving memory sequences. But I just felt like... I felt like the beginning got me really excited for a game that I didn't end up playing. And controlling the assassins is fun. It's a lot, you know, it's not as RTS as I thought it might end up being. It's very like, you know, attack that guy and then like,
it's like when you get like a mini nuke or something.
Yeah.
Like
it just kind of happens
defender.
And they're not really like part of your crew.
Yeah. It's like defender.
It's like
you hit the button and they come out and kill everything.
Yeah. Another example that's not really a real example would be like when you play like Marvel versus Capcom and you like call in a dude and he just like shows up and like annihilates the guy and then disappears again.
Yeah.
That's essentially what you're doing.
Isn't
like you're not really managing anything.
I mean, for the most part, isn't it just the same as like if you had encountered the gang on the street and you're like, hey, come with me. Like in the second game, you can bring like guys with you to do
stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
these guys are bad.
These guys are, they're like assassins that run in and
they can do one shot
kills.
They're
a creed of
assassins.
A whole
creed.
But yeah, I feel like the story was a lot more clear. I mean, I don't know, maybe I just remembered number two's story well enough. I don't know, but I think they cleared up, like, the stuff with Katarina is what you're talking about. Like, there's a memory sequence right before that you go through with her as, like, a kid, and she's, like, the girl you're hitting on.
Oh, that's the same chick?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Maybe I confused it.
Here's the deal. Everybody in the game's got
sounds
huge
exactly
boobs.
The same.
Everybody in the game has the same face. And everybody's got a beard and an Italian accent. So, when Mario comes
maybe that's
up,
not Katarina. Now, I'm, I don't know. I
see,
played very long yesterday.
Are you saying that all Italian people look and sound the same?
Yes,
we do. They have beards and big boobs.
And then the last thing I was going to say, and I like the game a lot. I did have fun. It's just, I don't think it changed enough from 2 to make me feel like super into it like I did from 1 to 2. Like, 1, I had fun because I was like, this is totally my game. Like, I get to sit on a wall for an hour and a half waiting for one guy to repeat a walking sequence and then jump down and kill him. And I'm like, I'm so badass, and act like that was pointful. But, like, 2 did that, but then there was a story and it made sense to me all of a sudden. Like, now I'm a guy with a reason and not just a... you know, murder, essentially, which is what number one's more like, are you a murderer or are you not a murderer? And then number two's like, no, you're killing because you're vengeful, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then this one just kind of felt like, hey, it's going to take us a while to make number three. So we took what we had for number two's technology, we added onto it, made it a little bit better, and we put out another game with some more story clarification, because there's not really a lot that happens. And it just felt like kind of like, here's 2.5, you know, and not here's another game.
Definitely, definitely. Perhaps it was all supposed to be the battles, and then they realized that's really hard.
I actually think free walking.
Cool running.
I free walk.
I like cool running.
I actually think the free running frustrated. I felt it get in my way in
really?
This game. Yeah.
Really?
The sequence where you're going to break her out of prison, I jumped off of a wall probably 8 times before.
Oh, that climbing that wall was a bitch, getting up to those windows.
And then there's one of the towers that I had to blow up, and I circled the thing 15 times and like could not find the opening.
Yeah, yeah.
And like whenever that happens, I end up jumping down and going on like a murderous rampage and just killing people for an hour because I'm so annoyed at what's going on.
How frustrated did you get when you had to bring Lucrezia Borgia down there with a key?
God.
You have to carry her without killing her, and she keeps breaking free. And then you have to tackle her, and guys keep showing up.
It's
so
really,
you have to keep going, dragging her back.
It's really weird because
it's so annoying.
In number two, they did the sequence where you had to like beat the guy at the carnival free running on the roofs, and it was a pain in the ass, and it was obnoxious.
Yeah.
And they got rid of those. There's none of that happens. There's no racing this time.
That's in the virtual trainer now.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're so hard on their own system. Like they're so like hard up for their own system that they're just like forcing quests into it. Like weird quests, like how many times in this game? I'm gonna say, I'll let you go in a second, but like the guy, like there's in the first game you walk with your mom. Remember when you first start playing the game in number two? Sorry, you start walking with your mom and she's like talking to you and you're seeing the world. And I remember thinking like, this is awesome. Like the world looks amazing. I'm like having a conversation. It feels like there's a story. Like this is very cool. And then I feel like they're like, well, make them do that 4 more times in this game.
Yeah.
But not for any real reason. Yeah. We're just going to, like, you're going to walk with Machiavelli, and he's going to talk for a minute and not really tell you anything worthwhile, and then we're going to get you to where you're supposed to be, and you're going to go do your mission. And they kept doing that over and over again, and
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
why am I walking through this world again? I don't care. Like, let me just play the game. And then, I don't know, the game is just, it felt long and slow-moving. And
that's what she said.
I enjoyed it, but
whoa,
it wasn't.
Hey,
so, Scott, none of us played multiplayer, though, I don't think.
No,
yeah.
None
next
of us
week.
Have done that, so maybe next week we'll talk about multiplayer.
Yeah.
But Scott...
Here's the background, I guess, for me, is that I still almost want to say that I like Assassin's Creed 1 better than Assassin's Creed 2.
What is wrong with you?
And here's why. This is part of the reason. Part of the reason why is because I don't care what's happening in the memory sequences, because I just want to know what's happening in the present, because I feel like that is will be the most important storyline.
Well, they're going to keep half-jerking you off with that.
Yeah, I know, and that's fine.
That's the worst.
But all I really care about is, like, am I going to get to make out with Kristen Bell, or will I not make out with Kristen
Bell? See, that's your true motivation. You just want more Kristen Bell sequences.
Yeah, I need to see more of Lucy.
She looks like a creep in the game.
Okay.
That's like that weird half-model that I'm like, what's going on there?
So, you know, like, I thought Assassin's Creed 2, like, had too many weapons, and I was like, I don't understand why I have... Why do I have so many weapons?
You got more now.
Yeah, I know. I feel it coming. But,
there's a lot.
Yeah.
Now you can do combos.
My perception of this game coming into it was just like, hey, we can squeeze some more sales out of this code. Like, let's make that happen. You know, we'll add a multiplayer component, which of course is the thing you have to do with all your sequels these days. So
don't judge it before you play it.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, it's a single-player game, and now it's a multiplayer game. And that seems to be the way of things, like, right now. So, like, I haven't played multiplayer, so it's not a review about multiplayer, but...
But you're already condemning it.
I'm not condemning it.
You can tell.
I'm condemning the business league. You know, it's
I know. I'm just kidding.
So be it.
Well,
but,
they're already, not to cut you off, but they're already making another one for next year.
Finish.
It's been confirmed, but... I see what you're saying about, like, you know, kind of milk it for all it's worth, but do you think that this one is a better game than 2? That's the question.
I've only played about an hour of it.
Okay.
Like, an hour of the story. I played, like, 3 hours of the trainer just because I wanted to learn, like, make sure I was doing all the combat.
And you were trying to beat my scores.
And I was trying to beat all your scores, too.
which I did.
But, like, I honestly, like, as far as the gameplay goes, like, the core mechanics of the free running and stuff, I can't tell a difference. But at the same time, like, I didn't perceive any problems with, like, the free running even in the first game. So, like, I didn't have a problem. Like
I didn't have a problem in one or two. This one is the first time I felt frustrated by the four running.
Well, the thing that I want to add to that is that I'm kind of like drinking the Ubisoft Kool-Aid. Like I like they have, there's like a thing that they do well with their games, and I feel like that's like character like articulation, like the like the way that they move and run and walk. Like, and you see it in games like this one in Prince of Persia. And even in the new Splinter Cell, they're really good at, like, making characters do things, like, with their limbs and, like, doing, like, maneuvers. And they all kind of, like, feel fluid for the most part, you know, and they look nice when you do them. And, like, even chaining, like, things together with the controller, like, is usually something that they excel at in their games. So,
I agree, yeah.
The only thing that, the thing that worried me about the second game, and even more so now in this one, is that I feel like they're mixing some of their mechanics together between this game and Prince of Persia. And, like, I feel like the gap, the gap between the two games is becoming, like, narrower, and the first time I noticed it in this game is right in the first sequence where you're, like, Lucy is helping you get through the catacombs underneath your thing, and that is totally, like, a gameplay mechanic right out of earlier Prince
Well, but that's
Persia
also
games.
Like, remember how to jump and remember. Like, that was training more than was anything
but
else.
But I mean, when the puzzle's like, hey, bring me over here and throw me over to the thing, like, that is something that you did in Prince of Persia a lot, where it's like two players trying to, like, unlock puzzles together.
And I think that's the key to this game, is that all the free-running stuff, especially when that's what you're doing, which is, like, the prison level and the all of the, what is it, the Romulus? Those are puzzles. They're just puzzles that you're running through. Like, they're not like, put this thing together or do that. Like, you're figuring out how to get through a thing because that's what the game mechanic
is. That's all that Prince of Persia is for the, you know.
But that's been, I mean, that was number two. I mean, yeah, I see what you're saying. But there are also two games that rely completely heavily on free running and not much else.
Yeah,
this one you assassinate people, the other one you're a prince.
See, yeah, the difference is that I always kind of. I always kind of thought that.
Excellent. Well said.
I haven't played a lot of the other ones. Like is there more to that game?
I know it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Chesty Jake, as we call it.
Prince of Persia is more like of the climbing and running and like less of the fighting. And then
right.
Assassin's Creed should be like, in my head, I thought was more fighting and less, like, I guess, free running, you know? But I feel like the two games are starting to borrow from one another. And like, I guess
I think
that's
you're
cool.
The only one who actually played any Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
I played them all. Yeah, I played them all.
Really?
Yeah.
The bigger ones.
I like them both, but like honestly, like the two are starting to become the same game as far as the game.
Well, I think that's where they introduced this the idea of. I mean, it really felt like this game was a beta test for what they're going to try and do with 3. I mean, they're like, here's some new concepts. Do you guys like this? And then if everybody's like, yeah, we like it, it's going to be flooded in game 3 where you're managing teams and having them like come in and do stuff while you're running around and killing things.
How nice of them to charge you to be a beta tester.
Well, it's what they're doing, though.
Yeah.
And it's like, and there's plenty of game here, though. I mean, it's not like the game is 5 hours long. I mean,
no.
It's probably 20-plus hours. I've heard 15 if you like just nail through the story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's probably 20-plus hours long, and then there's multiplayer, and there's, like, the VR training's actually pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, they're not shorting you on the game at all, but it's definitely, it's not, like, a revolution in the series. It's fun, if you liked 2 a lot, you'll probably like this one a lot, but
yeah.
It's not like they did anything new to it.
Oh, yeah, it's still a great, I mean, it's still fun.
And it looks fucking gorgeous still.
Yeah,
I
would say that the biggest addition is definitely the linking of the combos and enemy execution.
The fighting's better.
It is like, I remember just playing through 2 and being at the end of the game where you have like a lot of combat
and you're just
being like, counter. It was just so like aggravating. I was sitting there countering for like a half
You didn't get
hour.
To the end of the first game either.
Is that just all countering?
Like, the final battle in the first game is you fighting off, like, 15 guys.
But what
they
introduced in the second one that I'm actually really used to is the taunting and all that kind of stuff. Because that's how I never saw it. I literally ran and taunted, hit the guy, and, like, kill him.
I don't ever hit taunt. Apparently, I wait for the blinking glass.
Apparently you can taunt
he didn't know
the
lights
and they attack him faster.
Oh.
And then you can do the counter, you know.
Oh, cool.
You can
also. So when all three guys are just looking at you, taunt one of them, and then they come at you.
They'll run at you.
Interesting.
I'm noticing a pattern in your guys' reviews where it's like, this part really annoyed me, and this part was just a rehash of the other game, and just like,
are you
really
reviewing our reviews right now?
This it was a really good game, and you guys
play it. Because these games are good. Like, it's not like this game is bad.
That's
you know?
Meta of you to do that.
I know, I'm reviewing your review.
It's not like we're reviewing
in
fucking
review. It's a review inception.
You know, we didn't go buy, you know, what was it, big truck drivers or whatever and like review that game.
Let me quickly interject a mini review of EA Sports MMA.
Just
to make a point real quick.
How many reviews are we doing right now? There's another review still
to
go.
A train's going to bust through the
room. Just to make a quick point.
Don't bring movies into this.
I played this game mostly as like what you might consider to be a review copy of the game. And
you wanted the gamer points.
Yeah.
Just admit it.
Yeah. This game is, I don't watch MMA at all, so that was probably like my first foot out the door.
So I have a lot of points of relevance for this.
A couple guys beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah, but I have played Fight Night, and this game is Fight Night, but it's not polished. So like, when you go into a fight, it takes...
Ash looks totally lost.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is actually happening. why do you have this game if you've never played an MMA game?
We're going to come around to this.
Come back.
I'm going to bring it all back.
Scott,
for you.
He's going to make an analogy.
Hold on, let me cut off your review of this with my Little Pony DS review, and then Matt can cut my Little Pony review off with
what did I do?
PSP Valkyria Chronicles 7 review.
Let's just say I got it for free.
Okay,
and the real point of the story is that
just say it fell off a truck.
Yeah, but for the things that we don't like about Assassin's Creed, the game itself has a lot of polish, because like when you compare it against a game that doesn't have a lot of polish, like EA Sports MMA, where it's like, sure, the fighting mechanics are good, but it literally takes 20 seconds to load into a fight. And then if you've ever watched MMA, those fights last about 30 seconds.
I will say I don't notice any loading in Assassin's Creed at all. Like, I feel like I'm running around I know there's loading. I know it's happening, but it's done so smoothly that like I don't even I have no idea that it's happening.
So there's like
so to combat Ryan's critique of us critiquing things. Right. Look, it's a good fucking game,
so you're
all right, man.
My critique.
I'm critiquing you. I think you have no opinion of this. You're just trying to interject. However,
that's true,
because
I haven't played any of these games.
The point is that like for whatever we say about the game, it's, the Brotherhood is really polished.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's hard. Like when you're saying negative things about it, it's like. It's still a fucking. I still played it for 12 12 hours yesterday, and it's
I'm
like
taking.
It's not because
I'm just joshing.
Why don't you fucking leave?
I've said my piece.
So, anyways, whatever.
Really?
It's a game.
Good. I rate it nerd appropriate.
It's fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm having fun playing it. It's just there's parts where like I get the free running frustrated me
on
a couple of occasions.
There's humor in this one. Have you gotten to the part of your sister yet?
Yeah.
I like that part. Made me laugh. It's good.
Some
you
good
like
stuff.
It, Scott.
All right.
They'll take your penis out.
I'm working towards it.
All right.
Taking my penis
there's a
out.
Weird incest. There's a weird incest thing in this game,
what?
Too.
I really thought that's what happened at the beginning of the game. I didn't know that was the other...
Oh, with the
I don't know
gorgeous?
Who all this...
Yeah. They actually were in history incestuous.
So weird. I've heard that this one is actually even more historically accurate than the second
one. We didn't even talk
one.
About the historical accuracy.
That this is like literally what was going on during that
time
period.
Yeah, it really was.
People were getting into memory machines.
Yes, Ryan. People were getting into memory machines.
Kristen Bell.
And Kristen Bell was there.
Yep.
Incest.
Oh, Kristen Bell. And we'll just let that one die out.
All right.
Just let it hang out there for a second.
So the last interview, none of us have anything to say about except Ash, and that is somebody reenacted their WoW account and installed Cataclysm.
I did. All right. So for those that don't know, I played a lot of World of Warcraft long ago.
Wow.
Yeah. To the point where it was a detriment to my health and the health of my family and loved ones. So yeah, it was a horrible addiction, which I was able to finally get rid of and didn't play anymore. But, so I read this thing the other day that said Cataclysm, it's coming out December 7th, but prior to that, they are, launching all the content for levels 1 through 60, which consists of the world being blown up by this dragon Deathwing, and all the content that was level 1 through 60 gets erased. And there's all new content for levels 1 through 60. So the whole world is getting redone. All new art, all new graphics, all that kind of fun stuff. And so I said, hey, for a week, I'm going to give it a shot. Go back and see what all the hubbub is about and see, you know, if it's ever worth going back to. So I hopped in. I fired up my level 80 shaman.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, my level 80 shaman. Yes, and I got back in the world, and I discovered exactly why I will never play World of Warcraft again. And that's because
Chrissy left you.
No, she didn't leave me.
I'm afraid this is going to be a terrible relapse. So.
No. No, I didn't. I ended up not going back to it. I did a review on the site. You can check it out. It shows a little bit of a photo safari of my adventures back in the World of Warcraft, some of the big changes. The world does look a lot nicer. A lot of the zones have changed. For those that actually have played WoW, the big place, the starting zone for the Horde, the Barons, it's now cut in half. It's actually like looks like a giant earthquake kind of ravaged the bottom half of it. Thousand Needles, which was like sort of like a mesa-like zone, is now completely flooded.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's water everywhere.
Is Stranglethorn Vale gone?
You know, I didn't check out Stranglethorn, but I know Teneris.
If it's not, can I go blow it
up?
Yes,
you can go blow it up. Teneris, the big desert where the goblins live, is now completely underwater, and there's pirate ships and crap sailing around.
Huh.
So it's, you know, it's interesting, especially if you were, you know, a fan of WoW, and it's been around since, you know, 2004 it launched. Betas were in 2003, so it's an old world, you know. And
yeah.
That's the first thing that I noticed when I went back to it is, holy cow.
Because there's no real tech redux here. Like,
it's still the same code. You know, obviously everything looks nicer. They've polished everything up and redrawn and done everything. But the game is still the same game. Like, you still have to go up and read the quest text, and it'll be like, you know, go kill 7,000 fire beetles and do the dance of joy next to the fire pit, you know. And it just gets to the point where you're like, okay, well, games have moved beyond this. And the main thing that I wrote about in my little Photo Safari article was where WoW has always failed for me is that there is no narrative.
Right.
You're given this story, like, you're in a world. You're not the star of this world. You're just a bit player in this world. And you'll encounter all these great characters that, you know, have things for you to do. But what you do is completely inconsequential. Like, you know, they'll be like, you need to go into this cave and get this dagger out of this chest, and then you'll bring it back. And it's as if that never happened. You'll get experience points and maybe a new piece of armor or something like that. But in terms of this world, you're not even really a part of it. It's almost like you're a phantom just kind of coexisting with other people.
Which is where you said that Star Wars, this new Star Wars games look like it's going to beat it, essentially,
well,
in that way.
That's what I'm hoping. I mean, from what I understand, and not to go out on like a BioWare rant. But
we love them!
Well, we love them! Yay! Not to go to BioWare rant, but they, you know, the way they're building the Old Republic is that each character class has its own arc. There are, you know, dumb missions where you can go, like, kill, you know, 10,000 Dark Jedi, whatever, but there's also a plot line that your character can follow from start to finish.
Right.
And when your character finishes it, they've promised to keep adding new content for years to come. So what'll happen is you'll do your entire arc, which is supposed to be hundreds of hours long. And when you complete that, you can go do arcs for different planets.
We're all done for.
Yeah, you can, like, you want to go do like the Tatooine arc, you go to Tatooine, and you follow the Tatooine arc for however many hours, or the Alderaan arc.
Yeah.
And then when you're done with those, there may be new content for your character arc.
If we're doing that, can we still make fun of kids that play World of Warcraft? Is that...
Is that
we're making fun of him.
Yeah, no, you can make fun of me. No, I'm just... No, that's the thing about WoW.
I played the level 40.
Yeah.
And I felt that at level 40 when I just was grinding, and I was like, I hate this.
How do they do story elements? Because I've never even turned on the game. Like, if your quest is like, you gotta...
So I want to make fun of people. I've never even attempted this.
That's fine. I don't need to play. I don't need to eat poop to know it tastes like poop. if your quest is like, go into the cave and get this sword out, that's your little piece, like... Are you the only one in the world that does that? Or, like, if I then fire up the game, is that going to be my first quest? And then I have to go do that, too? Like, you guys are doing your own little single-player narrative along with all these other people in the world?
Yeah, that was pretty much the major issue with WoW, was that no matter what race you were, you know, no matter what class you were, there are very few unique quests for your race or your class. So, like, it'll say you went to the capital city of Orgrimmar. Everybody that goes to Orgrimmar at level 5 is going to get the same quest. They're all going to be like, go to the cave. And so you'll have everybody that's level knows that quest because you all have to go to the cave and do the same thing.
I think that's what turned me off about the game, was it just seemed like, and once again, I never played it, but it seemed like a bunch of people playing a single player game in the same arena.
Yeah, yeah. And where
really
the game excelled, like, you know, and my friends and I always kind of reminisce back to the days, but imagine like having 40 people all working towards doing something insane, like taking down a giant dragon, where each person has a very specific
True.
Assigned role, and it's almost like this giant tactical experience. That's where it was awesome.
Right.
Where
yeah.
you had, like, you know, everyone was on voice communication.
And that's honestly why I stopped playing because...
You didn't know 40 people.
I don't like playing games with groups. I honestly don't. Like, I just don't have that much fun. I barely hung around with his guild. He was like, yeah, sure, you can be part of the guild. And I just was like, sit there, and then every once in a while somebody would be like, here's some money, go do something. And I'm like, cool, and I just, like, leave.
Do you remember there was 2 weeks where we played Galaxies, and all we did was we sat inside of the cantina and just told jokes, like,
yeah.
We didn't even do quests.
We literally didn't do quests.
We just told jokes to one another.
But I think that's more of a statement on Galaxies than
it is
on anything else.
On Galaxies. Let me tell you 1 second about Galaxies. A bunch of us in Galaxies, we had so much money just from, like, I don't even know how the fuck we got it, but we just had all this money. We built, like, a fucking skyscraper out in the desert, and we had, like, 4 of these houses all decorated in, like, tents, and, like, I had, like, rancors patrolling my house, but there was nothing to do.
The pleasure dome.
We sat around in this desert and told jokes all
yeah,
fucking day.
That's
funniest,
what I would do if I had rancors.
And I usually don't make... Well, actually, WoW ended by making female characters. I usually make male characters, and I made a female Twi'lek dancing something in Galaxies.
Yeah,
I was a dancer and something else.
An entertainer.
And I was like, walking with Scott and Adam, our other friend Adam. I was walking with them, like, out somewhere, and this bounty hunter's just like, hey. And I was like, what? And he goes, here. And then just dumps, like, thousands of dollars worth of armor and weapons in front of me. And I was like, why? And he's like, I don't need it. And just, like, left. And I was like, all right, I picked up. And then reclassed. Because I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do as a dancer with, like, bounty hunter armor? So I, like, changed this thing. And then I realized that it was just as pointless as dancing.
Yeah.
I would just sit there. And I'm like, all right, we can shoot something, I guess. I don't know.
Galaxies was so horrible.
We ended up, I think we spent 90% of our time, Adam and I, guarding Scott while he made robots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a droid.
We just game. Like stood around him, and he would like build droids, and then we would just
yeah.
shoot things that came up to us.
And then
you guys were sitting in the same room while you were doing.
We
this
were
together, right?
Three. We were in separate rooms.
Oh,
in the same house. Yes.
So Cataclysm. If you love World of Warcraft, there's going to be a lot of new stuff to see. There's going to be a lot of new content for your alts, your level 1 through 60 stuff. So
what's an alt, Ash?
It's an alternate character, not the main character. So, yeah, for your alts, you'll have a lot of fun exploring new stuff. Here's the deal, though. It feels dated. It feels like its time has come and gone.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but WoW, you are done. No fancy werewolves or goblins are going
yeah.
to save you. The games have changed too much, and people kind of want a little bit more than just a grind fest. So,
and that more is Star Wars Old Republic.
Or something else down the road. Who knows? Who knows?
It's Star Wars Old Republic.
But that's it. All right.
All right. Well, that's it for the reviews. I don't know if there's too much to close up with here. Ryan, did you have anything you wanted to add to this podcast, Ryan?
I think I said enough.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Probably said too much.
Hey. I love my Windows phone. Awesome.
Ryan does officially have a Windows phone, and I bought one for my Black Friday impulse buy. Anybody make any Black Friday impulse buys?
I did. I made a few. BioWare store. Not that I'm into BioWare or anything.
Well, none of us are.
BioWare store had a 20% off.
Did they?
Yeah, it's still today, and it's the secret code for that is Jive Turkey. Not that anyone will hear this in time, but Jive Turkey.
Wait, on Black Friday, the secret code is Jive Turkey.
I didn't say anything, but yeah, 20% off. I got every
Jesus Christ.
Did you buy Dragon Age lithos?
No, I didn't get any lithos. They're freaking expensive.
Yeah, they're
freaking expensive. And there's only one litho I liked, and it was more for him. There's a grunt litho up there now.
Yeah,
limited,
I saw that. Grunt,
one per customer.
Awesome.
Looks awesome.
Is it $60? How much is it?
It's pretty expensive. Yeah, it's like even well 20% off. It's a little cheaper, but yeah, still expensive. But I got the whole Mass Effect poster set.
Did you get that?
All
That's
the
cool.
characters and
yeah.
everything. And I also got the...
You're a Mass Effect fan?
Yeah. I think we'll sneak it into every podcast.
It's the only tag vying for Allison Brie in our
yes.
tag cloud. It's Allison Brie and Mass Effect.
They're in competition.
As if we... They're the only two things
Whenever
we enjoy.
Whenever I see the Allison Brie tag... shrinking, I'll just slip it in.
I put it
something.
In another post.
I saw that.
Day.
I
was like,
that, yeah.
Allison Brie, that last one was for Ash.
That's
was
really,
one of
my
other my tags.
Wife is angering at that. She's like, why? I don't understand.
But see, here's the funny thing is that, like, I was talking to Melissa, my wife, one day. I was talking to her online, and like, I forget what we were even I told you about this, but we were talking about something else entirely. And I'm like, yeah, blah, blah, we got to do it. I think it's for the house. And we're like, we got to do this, we got to do that. And like, in the middle of it, she's just like, Allison Brie is really pretty. And I was like,
your wife also okay, has the worst ADD.
We'll just, yeah, she does.
Like, maybe she saw some Brie cheese.
Yeah. Probably. It was probably, literally probably something like that.
Yeah.
Or like, what was it, Family Guy, where she saw like a poster with the word Al on it, and then was like, I, and then her son or something, which we don't have, and then
yeah.
just like it put it all together, you know. P. Tar Griffon.
Other quick Black Friday impulse buys. So Mass Effect posters. I got a shirt, BioWare shirt.
Is it literally just a BioWare shirt?
No, it's a. it's, like, the, wow. it's the. My name's Commander Shepard. It's my favorite
cool.
shirt on the
yeah.
Citadel shirt. I also got the Community.
Yes,
DVD
$12.
$12.
No one's gonna hear this. It's on the website though.
$12.
Go buy the fucking box set.
And I also
so
got a. Zachary Levi from Chuck, he has a new company called The Nerd Machine, and The Nerd Machine is
yeah.
Right now it's an apparel company with a bunch of really, it's kind of like Jinx, but not as dude bro as Jinx. It's very like, yeah, Jinx is kind of dude bro now. But yeah, so I grabbed a shirt from them.
As dude bro as a WoW shirt can get, it's...
Yeah, WoW shirts are sort of like...
It's like a lot of flourishes.
WoW shirts.
They're sort of like the affliction shirts of the...
I was going to say, WoW shirts to me are what Dragon Ball Z shirts were in the 90s.
Yeah.
Where it's like
yeah,
this like big
that,
graphic...
Why was that like appropriate? Like
Dragon Ball Z
like,
button-ups?
Well, as grown up as you are in high school with like a Dragon Ball Z character, but it was a
button-up
shirt.
Because it was a button-up.
Can you make
that to an interview.
Can you make me an analogy using the Tap-Out brand
Ooh.
Somehow?
No,
because you're playing the wrong MMA game right now.
The worst thing is how you stole an MMA game, but you didn't even steal a good... You stole
Whoa.
A bad game. If you're going to rob games, steal good games.
Yeah, steal the Ultimate Fighter.
I think
game.
You're just putting penises into my mouth right now. That's not what I said at all.
Speaking
this
of MMA...
The second time we talked about...
I
bought
the
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game on Black Friday.
I bought
like,
that as well, because you
like
told us about
it. And
yeah.
it's really fun. It's exactly like the original arcade game, but it's got sweet little 3D graphics. You eat pizza
maybe I will post
up.
That before the day's over.
How about each of us go to our own separate homes and play that online together?
We could do that.
I think
we could.
With
there's four turtles.
Scott, did you buy any Black Friday? Did you buy more?
I bought GTA San Andreas because I could
You just
never...
went Xbox Live crazy.
Yeah, that's well, I didn't have to leave the house.
You didn't leave, yeah.
I could never beat... I got to... There was three challenges in San Andreas on the PC where you had to fly somehow, and I couldn't fucking do it with a mouse and keyboard. There was the one where you have to help David Cross, like, do little helicopters.
With the radio control helicopter?
Yeah, there's that one.
That's
and then
the same
there was,
problem in,
And then there was the one where you chase a plane, and I couldn't beat either of those challenges, and you couldn't progress in the game. So I figured for $4, I'll see if it's easier with the controller.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Scott, you got anything?
I think I picked up that Sin and Punishment at the
You did go
at
get
the
it?
Target, yeah.
Like after I told you about it this afternoon?
Yeah, I went back out.
You're mind blowing, sir.
It's the first time I left the house today.
I got the phones. I got a Windows 7 phone and the G2 Android phone. And
so we'll
go
two people.
Yep. And then I got the Community box set. I got some like MP3 albums on Amazon because they're all like $1 and $3 right now. They're cheap. And I bought the Teenage Mutant F you told about that. I think that was it, really. I went to Target. I was sitting, so I was up playing Assassin's Creed all day yesterday, and at like 1:30, I had just finished the podcast. I think I had just finished getting number 4 up. And I was sitting there like deliriously, and I was like, maybe I'll go drive by Target. I could stay up another 2 hours and just buy something. I was like, I'm going to drive by Target. So I went in and woke up Melissa, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to drive by Target. And if there's not a line, or if there's not a crazy line, I'm going to get in and I'm just going to buy a TV or something. I don't know.
Read a book, just hang out.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Fucking just walk in there and get something. I went to Target. And this is not even like one of our big Targets. This is the Target on Goldenrod here, which is like not huge.
Yeah.
There was a 3-across line that started at the door, went all the way down to the end of the Target, which is like fucking gigantic. Went all the way down the front of Target and like towards the corner. And I was like, not waiting in that way. And then there's people, what's better about it is that it's like a tailgate party, and there's people just hanging out in the parking lot and like looking at you driving, and they're like, hey, like
did,
it's like a thing. And I was like, I'm not doing this.
I did Black Friday last Thanksgiving with my girlfriend and got up and did it and went out and shopped. And
wait,
it was
doing
like,
it with your girlfriend has something to do with Black Friday?
No, we did Black Friday. We went out and did
saying anymore.
Black Friday.
Did she do it again? She posted something online.
She did. She did it a little bit. She didn't get up at 4 a.m. She left at like 9. We did it last year, and I bought the Goonies for $3, and then finally lost the DVD. That's all I got out of Black Friday. It was the worst experience.
Yeah,
totally worth it, right?
Well, I was going to maybe buy a TV, but people were, like, tearing each other's arms off to get right to the 6 Emerson
it's,
TVs.
It's literally, like,
on
TVs are the only thing that are
cheap
enough.
But they have, like, off-brands.
They're
like
all off-brand.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you can't get a Samsung for $15.
No.
You can get, like,
and even if you can, it's, like, it's the Samsung from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
They happen to still have
black
some
and white has knobs on it.
So. Or, like, remember when, before flat panels were, like, before LCDs were, like, commonplace? That they used to say flat screen,
yes.
And it meant that it was a tube
it's
TV
tricky,
with
yeah.
just a flat screen
those
on it.
Those actually weren't bad. The Trinitron TVs were pretty good.
I have a 13-inch one in my office right now. It is pretty nice. So, yeah, that's it. This will actually be up in real time now, so this will be up on Monday.
Awesome.
I'm going to add it together over the weekend.
Are we on
together.
Zoom yet? We're on the iTunes.
You're not on the... I added it to my
I
Zoom,
added it.
But I don't see it.
I added it to the network, the Zoom network, and it has not picked up on
they're
it.
They're probably dying
iTunes
for people
did.
To put stuff on their marketplace. So.
Well, if they are, iTunes is a lot faster than they are. So I don't know what the problem with that is. But we are on iTunes. Please go... If you do listen to this, if you are one of the 13 people, because I track this shit that is
well,
listening. Well, like
seven.
10. 7 or 8
not
people.
Counting them.
If you're one of the 5 people that's actually listening to this, please go to iTunes, give it a rating, leave it a comment. Even if you don't download it on iTunes, you can still go and log into iTunes account and leave a comment and rate it, because that's how iTunes pushes you up the field of podcasts. And that would be helpful for us. And that is all. So this is it for episode 5.
Hooray.
We're all done.
Have a great holiday.
Well, you're not going to hear this until you're back at work, but, you know.
Have
there's
a great
be another
day at work.
Yeah, I think there's another holiday coming up. Yeah.
No. Have a great holiday
about a
season.
Month.
Have a great one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mazel tov.
Just have a good one.
Have a good one. Let's let this fade out awkwardly. Music's going to come in at some point, but right now it's just awkward. Thanks, that's
on.